Reading from 2 Chronicles chapter 25. 2 Chronicles chapter 25. We'll read it together from the opening verse. 2 Chronicles 25. We'll read it together from the opening verse of this scripture. Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Now it came to pass when the kingdom was established to him, that he slew his servants that had killed the king his father. But he slew not their children, but did as it is written in the law in the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, the father shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for the father. And every man shall die for his own sin. Moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together, made them captains over thousands and captains over hundreds, according to the houses of their fathers, throughout all Judah and Benjamin. And he numbered them from 20 years old and above, and found them 300,000 men, choice men, able to go forth to war, that could handle spear and shield. He hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. And there came a man of God to him, saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go forth with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. But if thou wilt do it, do it. Be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy. For God hath power to help and to cast down. And Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. And Amaziah separated them, to wit, the army that was come to him out of Ephraim, to go home again. Wherefore their anger was greatly kindled against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. And Amaziah strengthened himself, and led forth his people, and went to the valley of Salt, and smote of the children of Seir 10,000. And other 10,000 left alive did the children of Judah carry away captive, and brought them unto the top of the rock, and cast them down from the top of the rock, that they were all broken in pieces. Amen. Ending our reading at verse 12, we know that God will bless to us the reading of His inspired, inerrant, and infallible Word. Let's bow together in prayer. Father in heaven, we come now to the preaching of Thy Word. I am trusting Thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that Thou Thyself hast given me must prevail. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to draw your attention this morning to 2 Chronicles chapter 25 and verse 9. To the words at the end of the verse, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. It is important to start well. It is equally important that we continue well. And of course, that we finish well. Some of us start things with great enthusiasm and endeavor, but before many days or weeks have passed, the enthusiasm has waned, and the endeavor has all but ceased. There is need for consistency amongst us. We need to continue to be without ceasing in our prayers, continual in our Bible reading and study, unceasing in our service for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Of course, we have the exhortations of Scripture to engage in prayer. to study our Bible, to attend the means of grace, and to serve God with all our heart. And then also we have the encouragements in Scripture, so that we are encouraged to go forward for God, to be forthright and fervent in the cause of Christ. The encouragements of the lives of others who are involved in the work of God and who are faithful in every aspect of the Lord's service. Men like Abraham and David, Stephen and Paul, to mention but a few of Scripture's giants. And of course, supremely, the Lord Jesus Christ. What an example He has left us. An example of strength, stability, and steadfastness that the Savior has set before us. He hath left us an example that we should follow in His death. Here is a word of encouragement this morning for us as we face the future and as we go forward in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. First of all, as we consider the truth of these words, I want you to notice the person. The Lord, Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God. It is important that our minds are focused upon Him and that our eyes are fixed upon the Lord today. It is Him that we trust in. It is Him that we depend upon. Many today, sadly, are focused and fixed upon material things, worldly things, the things of time and sense. And often these things, it is true to say, crowd in upon us and clamber for our attention amidst the hustle and bustle of today's world. But oh, that our minds might be lifted today to a consideration of the Lord. The Word of God says, "For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind." Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And if we keep our eyes upon the Lord, then we will not deviate from a right path. It is when we cease to fix our eyes upon Him that we begin to falter. We faint by the way, and we fall into bypath meadows. Are you looking to the Lord this morning? Are your eyes heavenward and Godward? Are you looking to the God who is faithful and who never fails His people? Paul said in Colossians 3:2, set your affection, the word there is mind, set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. You remember Isaiah in that great chapter, Isaiah chapter 6. He said, "I saw also the Lord high and lifted up." He saw the position He occupied. The Lord was upon the throne. He was high and lifted up. But we need to see the Lord in the position He occupied. For He's the great God of heaven. He's the sovereign ruler of the universe. He's the one who is in control of all things. He saw the position He occupied. But then as you look further in that chapter, we see also that He saw the purity of the Lord, because He cried in Isaiah 6:3, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Many there are today who have a very low view of the Lord. Their estimate of the Lord is not what it ought to be. But we need to have a scriptural view of the Lord, to see Him as He is revealed to us in the Word of God, spiritually, to have an exalted view of the Lord this morning. He saw not only the position of the Lord and the purity of the Lord, but he saw the pollution of his own heart. You read down that chapter, Isaiah 6. He said, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Brethren and sisters, when we see the King, when we see the Lord in His purity, we see ourselves in our own impurity. When we see the Lord in His holiness, we see how unholy we are. The Lord gives us a view of ourselves, so that we might have a view of Him this morning. The Lord Himself. And we will see ourselves as we ought to see ourselves. And then he experienced the purification from sin that he required. His sin was purged. Read on down that chapter. "Have you seen the Lord today? Oh, that we might see the Lord in these days. That we might know the power of the Lord and the purity of the Lord in our life." We need to consider Him. But then secondly, we need to commune with Him. Communion with the Lord is essential in order for us to establish a good relationship with Him. Being drawn closer to the Lord. What about your communion with the Lord, dear person, this morning? Everything else and everyone else that hinders or harms our communion with the Lord needs to be removed, so that we might well know what it is to have intimacy with the Lord continually. Are you intimate with the Lord this morning? James 4 and 8 says, "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you." Hebrews 10:22 says, "Let us draw near with a true heart, with full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Do you know what it is to draw nigh to the Lord? To be in communion with your God? Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? Have you had communion with God? Or you came to the house of God today? But then we not only need to consider Him, we need to commune with Him, but we need to come after Him. You see, the Bible speaks about following the Lord. The Bible speaks about obedience that is required, not something half-hearted, but something that is wholehearted. Remember, Jesus came upon those men who were fishing, and He said, "Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." Following Christ is essential. We're to go forth into the field of service. We must follow Christ. We must follow Him in service. We must follow Him in supplication. You remember there in the garden, the Lord Jesus Christ desired the disciples to follow Him. "Tarry ye here and watch with me." You need to tarry with the Lord in the place of prayer. We need to follow Him in submission. Submission to the will of the Father. You remember Jesus when the cup passed before Him there in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, "Not my will, but thine be done." Not my will, but thine be done. And again, "I delight to do the will of my God." Follow Him in separation. Identifying ourselves with Christ in the path of separation that the Savior trod, being separated unto God from the world, from all that the world would offer us, and all that the world would attract us with. You're following the Lord in separation, and then following Him in sacrifice, presenting our bodies as living sacrifices, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And God wants us today to present our bodies, to give ourselves in entirety to the Lord, to place ourselves upon the altar. Are you willing for that this morning? Follow him. Come after him. Follow him this morning. And then, not only does this text of Scripture bring before us the person, but it brings before us, secondly, the power. It says in our text, the Lord is able. I want you to see that this morning. The Lord is able. What a word is this? What a declaration. It brings us to a recognition of the all-powerful God. He is the source of this power. He is the substance of this power. He is all power. The omnipotent God. There is no God beside Him. Look at verse 8. 2 Chronicles 25. It says, God hath power to help. Look at Isaiah 40, 29. He giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might. He increaseth strength. This is the power of the Father. This is the power of the Son. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the three in one and the one in three. The power of the Trinity of the Godhead. The triune God. This is the power that we're thinking of this morning. The declaration of His power. And then, of course, we have the demonstration of His power. You remember God's power demonstrated in creation. Of course, the evolutionists will try to tell us that this world came into existence as a result of a Big Bang. That we all came about as a result of an evolutionary process. That this world is millions of years old. And all this trash and tripe is put out today as if it were fact. But friend, the Bible teaches, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In 6 days, God brought it about. The great work of creation. The creation of man and of woman from the man. God's power in creation. And we believe the Bible today, and we believe what the Bible teaches. And all the facts and all the evidences are there, demonstrated clearly in this world, in science and in every other aspect. And God is the great Creator. God is the great Creator. His power in creation. But then God's power in salvation, because He's able to save. He's able to save. The Bible says in Hebrews 7:25, He is able to save them for the others that come unto God by Him. And you're here today, friend, and you're not saved. He's able to save you this morning. Dear man, dear lady, dear young person, not saved. He's able to save you. Ere you leave this service, you can be saved. His power reaches down to you. Whatever depths of sin you've gone through, He can lift you out of it. No matter how far you've drifted in your sin, His arm is stretched forth to save you. His arm is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither is His ear heavy that it cannot hear. And God is able to save you this morning in this service. God's power and preservation. When He saves us, He keeps us. We are kept by the power of God. Isn't that good? We cannot keep ourselves. But we're kept by the power of God. He is able to keep us from falling and to preserve us faultless before the presence of His Father. He preserves us from all evil. God's power and preservation. Haven't we proved the Lord in this regard so many times? We have failed and yet the Lord has preserved us. So many times it seems as if we're going to fall, and yet underneath and round about are the everlasting arms. So many times we needed a refuge, and we have proved Him to be that refuge and that rest in the time of need. God's power in salvation and preservation. God's power in construction. You know what God says? I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And we're engaged here in this land, and you're engaged here in this church in building the church. This is a spiritual exercise. It is to see God's work extended, God's work established, God's work expanded in this corner of the vineyard. Remember this, the Lord is the great master builder. Remember that He is the foundation. He is the rock. Upon this rock I will build my church. Not Petros, but Christ the rock. Christ the rock. On this rock, referring to Himself, I will build my church. He's the great master builder. He is the foundation. He is the founder. It is His church. It doesn't belong to the Free Presbyterians. It's the Lord's church. It's the Lord's church. His church. The fabric is put together by Him. It has pleased God to use us, yes, as instruments in this great work. But never lose sight that the Lord is the great overseer of it all. He's the great superintendent of the work. It is at His command that this work is done. You remember Nehemiah, he built the walls, and with the helpers that God gave to him, but the Lord's power was behind it, the erection and establishment of the walls. And the Lord says in John 15:5, without me ye can do nothing. Isaiah 41:13, I the Lord thy God will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Again verse 15, behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, shall make the hills as chaff. It's the Lord's work. He's the great constructor of the work. And then God's power enabling us to serve Him. The enablement of the Holy Spirit. You think of Acts 1:8. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Think of Micah 3:8. Truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob their transgression and to Israel his sin. We have the example of His servants going forth in the power of the Spirit to preach the word. Think of Peter in Acts 2 speaking those mighty words in the power of the Spirit. 3,000 souls were saved. Read on in the Acts of the Apostles. 5,000 were saved. Read on in the Acts of the Apostles. Multitudes, both of men and women, were converted to Christ. Read on in the Acts of the Apostles and discover this. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The power of God enabling His servants to serve Him. And this power, dear friends, is available to us here in Cross Gall this morning. The power of resources of God are available to us. And all we have to do is to tap into the resources of God and know in our lives the power of the Spirit of God continually available to us. God's power strengthening us to stand for Him. Finally, my brethren, said Paul in Ephesians 6, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand, to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And as never before, dear brethren and sisters in Christ, we need to be endued to stand. The pressures are greater than ever before for the family. There are more pressures on the family today than there has been ever before. There are more pressures on children in school today than there have been ever before, and in young people in university and in the workplace today. There are more pressures in society at large today than ever before. We need to be endued to stand. The power of God, the armor of God, equipping us, enabling us, empowering us to stand up for the crown rights of King Jesus and the crown jewels of His glorious gospel. I was speaking to doing some work in the prison this morning before I came here, preaching in the prison in McGabbery, and a prison officer approached me and he said, you know, I'm a Christian. And we got into conversation anyway, and he was telling me about going out to one of those countries, I think it's Ukraine. Forgive me if I'm wrong in that, but it is, I think it was Ukraine he was speaking of. He's telling about going into the prison there and witnessing for Christ. And telling me about this man who was in this situation. He was persecuted for the cause of Christ. They broke his legs because he dared to hold his Bible, to read his Bible. Persecuted for the cause of Christ. But that man refused to bow to the authority. Why? Because he was endued to stand. He was endued to stand. Oh, may God endue us to stand. You remember David, when he faced that battle with Goliath, it was the Lord's battle. The Lord's power was his portion. And of course, you remember how that Saul put on his armor on David. But David had to put off the armor of Saul because that speaks of the flesh. We cannot do the Lord's work in the power of the flesh. We cannot do it. And David went forth in the power of God and he prevailed against Goliath. And the Bible says in Psalm 60 and verse 12, through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. Through God. By the power of God. And I want you to see thirdly the provision. The Lord is able to give thee. Give thee. God's gift to us. How often we would look to our own resources. What we can do with them. Our own resources decay, friends. They vanish. They flee away from us. But here is a precious provision. We are given that which is precious from the hand of God. No other provision compares to the richness of this, to the fullness of this, the ever abounding, ever flowing resource of His grace. And what does He say? My grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in weakness. What does He say again? My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. There are riches inexhaustible in the Lord. It's a precious provision. But then it's a plentiful provision. There's no meager supply. The Lord gives liberally to His people. He gives liberally. He gives us each hour of each day. He gives us each day of each year. He gives us and gives us again. The barrel of meal shall not waste. Neither shall the cruse avoid. Remember that wee woman there? Elijah wanted her to bake a cake. He said, "I've only a little oil in the cruse, a little handful of meal in the barrel." But the Lord gave her the promise. It will not fail. It will not fail. Neither it did. A plentiful provision. It's a personal provision. The Lord will give thee. He'll give it to you and to me. Have we not proved the Lord in the temporal sphere of life? The Lord has supplied your every need, but spiritually He will provide for us in a great and mighty way. We need the resources of God continually in our lives. We cannot go forth dependent on our own resources. Vain is the help of man, but the Lord in the midst of thee is mighty. He's made it. He faileth not. Let us continually know His provision in our lives, in the days that lie before us. I want you to see in conclusion the promise. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Much more than this. What a promise. We can rely upon the promises of God. Think of the potential of this promise. Much more. He'd been depending, if you read the context, on 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel, whom he had hired for 100 talents of silver. But let's not look today to the potential man can give us, but rather to that which is found in the promises of God. Do you remember how the Lord had to speak to Gideon about that and show him that it was going to be by a small number that God was going to do the work. 300. Well, there were 20 people there at the start. But then those that were fearful and afraid, they were to depart. And of course, the Lord whittled it down to 300. 300. You depend upon the Lord. The potential with the Lord is much greater than the potential with man. Think of the prosperity in this. If Amaziah was to do what the man of God told him to do, then he would prosper. And he did, as long as he walked in God's way. The Lord prospers the individual that obeys Him. Are you obeying the Lord? The Lord prospers the church that obeys Him. If we want to prosper in days to come, then we must obey the Lord. For to obey is better than sacrifice. To hearken the Pharaoh's. Divine resources are much greater than anything man can provide. God's prosperity is something to be sought after. Are you seeking after God's prosperity in your life? And then there's the prospect through this. On the one hand, disobedience and disregard for God's command would result in defeat. It would be disastrous. On the other hand, the defeat, the obedience to the Lord would mean the defeat of the enemy and the deliverance of the people of God. You see, dear friends, there's a glad and glorious prospect for us this morning if we walk in the ways of the Lord. Are we going to walk in that way? Not just for one day or 2 days or 1 month or 2 months, but every day. God spares us as the Lord tarries. And the Lord will give thee much more than this. This is what the Lord promises. Oh, may this promise be realized in your life today. May it be realized in the life of this church. May the Lord's favor and blessing be graciously upon us. Let us pray. Father, this is thy truth. O God, write it upon the hearts of everyone that hears today. We pray that today thou wilt give us the hearing ear and the understanding heart, the obedient life. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.